It's nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station, broadcasting up here on Signal Hill, nestled between the high school and the public library. 45 degrees out at the airport right now, where they have northwest winds at 8. 50% chance of showers today, mostly cloudy skies, high near 47, north winds to 10. Showers are likely tonight, mostly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 41, north winds continuing at 5. For tomorrow, showers continuing, high near 47, northeast winds to 10. The good news is, mostly sunny skies on Saturday and Sunday is what they're calling for right now. Coming up on the Midday Report, a Kodiak brown bear was spotted across the street at East Elementary Monday morning, about the time the kids were going to school. The city of Kodiak is getting closer to completing its Baranoff Park Recreation Center. And overdose deaths in Alaska have increased by more than 70%. State's health department says it's because of fentanyl.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Federal Reserve's greenlighting the biggest interest rate hike in decades to bring down historically high inflation. Fed Chair Jerome Powell today acknowledging what that'll mean for potential borrowers.
The process of getting there involves higher rates. So higher mortgage rates, higher borrowing rates, and things like that. So it's not going to be pleasant either. But in the end, everyone is better off.
NPR's Scott Horsley has details on the Fed's highest interest rate increase in more than 20 years.
The central bank is raising its benchmark interest rate by half a percentage point for the first time since 2000. The move follows a smaller quarter-point rate hike in March. By making it more expensive to borrow money, the Fed hopes to cool off consumer demand, which has been outstripping supply. That imbalance has prices climbing at the fastest pace in four decades. In a statement, the Fed's rate-setting committee said policymakers are highly attentive to inflation risks. The Fed also announced plans to start gradually scaling back its collection of government bonds and mortgage-backed securities on June 1st. The central bank bought trillions of dollars worth of those assets during the pandemic in an effort to prop up the economy. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
President Biden says the leaked draft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade is much more than just about abortion. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Biden sees the decision as a threat to people's rights to privacy.
President Biden spoke again today about his concerns if the Supreme Court goes through with overturning federal rights to abortion. He said that decision could be a threat to LGBTQ rights and contraception rights.
What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
The president took a question about abortion rights at the White House after delivering remarks on the economy, touting his administration's efforts at reducing the nation's budget deficit. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, the White House.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says Russia is stepping up missile strikes on Ukraine's railroads and other systems.
They are attempting to hit what we assess to be critical infrastructure targets out towards the west, electrical power, transportation hubs, that kind of thing. We think this is an effort to try to disrupt the Ukrainians' ability to replenish and reinforce themselves.
But Kirby says Western military supplies are still arriving in Ukraine. In a Northern Virginia courtroom today, actor Amber Heard's taken the stand in her own defense against ex-husband actor Johnny Depp's defamation lawsuit. She maintains Depp abused her.
It started with slapping, and it got to be like repetitive slaps where he'd hold me in a position and slap me multiple times in a row.
Depp accuses Heard of peddling lies and harming his career, and he's suing for $50 million. She countersued for $100 million. This is NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
A large brown bear was spotted across the street from East Elementary School around 7:30 a.m. Monday morning, just as students began filing in for classes. Multiple police officers responded almost immediately, according to the Kodiak Police Department, and no students came into contact with the bear. Kodiak Police Chief Tim Putney was one of the first officers on the scene, and as more officers arrived, the bear made its way up the trail and into deeper woods. A Kodiak Police Department spokesperson said they are not planning to do additional hazing action against the bear, at least in the short term. The spokesperson said this may be the same bear that attempted to break into the dinghy food truck in mid-April. That bear ripped out an electrical line and scratched the metal exterior of the dinghy. Kodiak police are advising that students at East Elementary be dropped off by vehicle for the remainder of the week, but otherwise said the situation was resolved. The city of Kodiak continues to collect bids for a planned overhaul of the Baranoff Park Recreation Center, and the project contract could be awarded as early as this month. But as KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports, the nearly $4 million development faces a final fundraising hurdle.
Plans for the future of Baranoff Park include 4,500 square feet of new building. The existing outdoor ice rink will be enclosed and a covered walking track. And so far, more than 160 donors, including local businesses, have chipped in contributions for the planned expansion. Corey Gron is the director of Kodiak's Parks and Recreation Department.
The community's been very generous.
He says the multi-use nature of the development has galvanized community support.
I think some folks will always see this as a ice rink, but the reality is we want it to be a true rec center for people of all ages.
The volunteer group Friends of Baranoff Park has been raising funds on behalf of the city, but it's still $400,000 shy of its nearly $4 million goal for the project. At a recent Kodiak Island Borough work session, assembly members discussed a formal request by the group to chip in funding. But assembly members said they couldn't approve anything until they saw final construction bids. There was also discussion about how infrastructure and pandemic relief money might be used for similar projects. Borough Mayor Bill Roberts said that wasn't necessarily a bad thing for the future of Baranoff Park.
I don't think you heard anything negative from this assembly. I think we are on a little bit of a wait hold.
Meanwhile, Gron says the current funding shortfall shouldn't hold up plans for construction, and that Parks and Rec is still eyeing a late summer groundbreaking for the project. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobroth.
Overdose deaths increased by more than 70% in Alaska last year. The state's health department says that's because of a highly toxic synthetic opioid, fentanyl. It's been found mixed with heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine. In a press conference yesterday, Governor Mike Dunleavy said the problem is only intensifying. The state's drug task force seized twice as much fentanyl in the last 3 months than they did in all of last year.
It's incredibly deadly. I repeat, it's incredibly deadly in incredibly small doses. Parents, your kids, and all Alaskans must understand this poison, and that's what it is in our state in many different forms.
He said he will work with the state legislature to increase the punishment for drug trafficking and told drug dealers they're in for a, quote, rude awakening. Dr. Tom Quimby directs the emergency department at Mat-Su Regional Medical Center, a region hard hit by overdoses.
What I see happening every day in our emergency department is that this problem knows no bounds. It crosses all levels of our society. I see people in all socioeconomic classes, all ages, all religions, all races, living in all geographic regions, in all political parties, who are affected by this.
Sandy Snodgrass's 22-year-old son died of a drug overdose last fall. She said she would do anything in her power to spare another parent from surviving the death of a child.
It's too late to save my child. And there are many parents that I know personally in this room that it's too late to save their children. But they're here today to save your children. Please help us carry Narcan. Talk to your children tonight about fentanyl.
Narcan is a brand of the overdose-reversing drug Naloxone. The state just received 11,000 more doses that it will give away for free in kits that include fentanyl test strips. Medication-assisted treatment is also available in Alaska to help people quit using opioids. Nearly 250 Alaskans died of drug overdoses last year. 6 of every 10 drug overdoses in Alaska involved fentanyl. This spring, the traditional council of New Stuyahok in Bristol Bay partnered on a program that connects rural communities with Alaskan Native artists. KDLG's Izzy Ross talked with one artist from the region who wants to help people use art to heal.
Danielle Larsgaard, a commercial fisher and a domestic violence counselor, recently embarked on a new business endeavor, a traveling art studio called Alriak Arts. She wants to hold workshops on how people can use art to process emotions and address trauma.
Bridging the gap between modern art and bringing back traditional art. Our minds, our bodies, our hands, our souls, we heal best when we're practicing our cultural lifestyle, traditional lifestyle.
Larsgaard brought her studio to New Stuyahok during the last week in April as part of AmeriCorps' Resilient Alaska Youth After School program. It partners with tribes, schools, and nonprofits in rural communities statewide to support youth activities. The program teamed up with New Stuyahok's traditional council to have Larsgaard lead the art workshops. She teaches a traditional drum-making class, where students craft 15-inch, 16-sided instruments. She also hosts an art therapy paint night with parents. Matthias Suskuk, with the traditional council, says at least 22 kids participated in the workshop, so many that a few had to work on the project as a team.
We started with drum-making. We started the drum part, the circle thing, so it could be smooth for the deer skin we're going to use today. And then while that's drying up, we'll probably do painting.
For Larsgaard, these aren't just art projects. She wants to address the generational gap created by boarding schools and other historical traumas.
A lot of generations didn't learn how to preserve grass or to go out and get hides and to stretch them and make drums and make rain gear and stuff like that. And so with that generational gap, I'm fulfilling it with teaching these traditional classes for individuals who didn't have an uppa or an umma to walk them alongside and teach those things, or a mom and dad to teach them how to live off the land or how to live off the water.
The program's community development manager, Liza Krauser, says these workshops are part of AmeriCorps' mission to meet long-term community needs.
So the whole goal of our program is to build youth connections to culture, community, and the environment. So this special project with these artists traveling to communities really ties into that goal of building that connection to culture.
Larsgaard and musician Asi Asanak Kairayok of the band Bamua have traveled to 6 communities to conduct workshops this spring.
The goal of these classes is to teach those traditional values, those traditional art skills, and how to use our hands, our mind, bodies, and souls to heal.
The New Stuyahok workshops weren't limited to kids in the after-school program. The whole community was able to get involved.
We're inviting elders to come in and share stories. Friday night, we're going to have a parent paint night, and then at the end of the day, the parents get to listen to the kiddos play their drums, sing their traditional songs, and dancing together.
The Resilient Alaska Youth Program will open applications for new community partners this month. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
An Alaska company could start prospecting for energy on the active volcano on Augustine Island in Cook Inlet. The state of Alaska is considering leasing land to GeoAlaska LLC so it can see if Augustine is a good fit for a potential geothermal project. The company is already prospecting for energy at Mount Spur, 40 miles west of Tyonek. GeoAlaska CEO Eric Anderson of Anchorage says the 2-year-old company is looking at those 2 Cook Inlet volcanoes because they're closer to Alaska's population center and the rail belt.
The resources have to be, you know, not too far away from the market that you can actually tie them to it. Since we can't beam electricity, it has to come by a transmission line.
Geothermal energy can be harnessed from the heat below the Earth's surface in the form of steam or water. It's a renewable resource, since there's no shortage of heat down there, that can be used to heat homes or generate electricity. What interested companies need first is more information and data so they know where to drill. GeoAlaska wants to lease state-owned land from the Alaska Division of Oil and Gas through its geothermal program to look into the resource. The Division of Oil and Gas has held lease sales for Spur before in the 1980s and 2008, as well as Augustine in 2013. But as is the case with oil and gas, bidding and exploration don't always equal production, and no company has taken the leap to connect geothermal power from either volcano with an electrical grid. GeoAlaska is looking into gathering data on a stretch of land that covers over 3,000 acres on the south side of Augustine Island. Anderson says that part of the island shows promise.
Bottom line is it has non-volcanic formations that allow a very nice cap for a geothermal reservoir and also potentially good reservoir rock formations.
There are myriad other geothermal projects in early stages in Alaska now, but the technology still has its challenges. Sean Clifton with the Alaska Division of Oil and Gas says that's partly because the state is so spread out.
An additional challenge is that it's still a very underexplored state, and so we just don't have a lot of great data about what geothermal resources might be available that are closer to populated centers.
The fact that Augustine is an island is also an obstacle. Still, Anderson says it's much closer than most to Alaska's most populated region.
We didn't pick these volcanoes because they're particularly nice to work with or that they have great resources. It's all about the market.
He says his company started with the Mount Spur project. They're starting to bring in experts to look at data there. Anderson and his team see geothermal as a way to move the state toward a more sustainable energy future. The state sees that potential, too. Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed legislation working through the legislature now that he says would make geothermal exploration in Alaska easier by broadening the area companies are allowed to explore and extending the exploration period so companies have more time to look on a given permit, among other changes. Meanwhile, the state released a preliminary approval for the Augustine permit on Thursday. It's just a draft. Clifton says his department will take into account feedback submitted by the public.
Sometimes the comments can actually be really helpful in exposing areas where we may not have looked carefully enough in the course of our research. And so, you know, it can sometimes take many months to evaluate the comments and then, you know, respond to them appropriately.
After that, they'll issue a final finding on whether GeoAlaska can start prospecting. Petersburg's Borough Assembly voted on Monday to send a letter opposing a bill that would create five new urban native corporations in southeast Alaska and transfer land from the Tongass National Forest to those corporations. Some of the assembly thought there should be more chance for public comment. Joe Vicknicki has this report.
Alaska's congressional delegation has repeatedly introduced legislation that would change the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. The bill would provide new urban corporations in Petersburg, Wrangell, Tenneke, Haines, and Ketchikan, each with just over 23,000 acres of national forest land. Petersburg's Vice Mayor Jay Stanton Greger proposed a letter opposing the bill.
But I have a real heartache with taking, for any reason, lots and lots of public land and giving it to private business with the sole goal of for-profit use. That's it. The goal of that land, if this goes through, will be to maximize profit. That's what that does.
The five communities did not meet certain requirements for corporation status under the landmark 1971 law. However, other places that also didn't meet those requirements were allowed to form corporations and granted land. Supporters say this legislation would return a tiny fraction of Aboriginal territory taken from Alaska Natives. Future shareholders say the new corporations would spur economic development with possibilities for tourism or carbon credits or other uses like food or cultural activities. Subsurface or mining rights would go to Sea Alaska, the regional native corporation. Natives in the five communities have identified the parcels they'd select. Petersburg Assemblymember Dave Kenzinger said he's against the legislation because of those selections.
I'd have a lot easier time supporting this if it was one block of land, but it makes your head crazy if you look at all the selections they've made.
He also thought those land choices could impact the U.S. Forest Service's ability to offer timber sales in the area. Other opponents have been concerned about logging on the land or continued access. There's language in the bill that would allow that public access, but also allow a corporation to restrict access in certain situations. Mayor Mark Jensen requested the Assembly take a position on the bill and thought it could have a hearing in a Senate committee. 2 years ago, local elected officials asked for more time to learn about the impacts. Since then, supporters and opponents from Petersburg and elsewhere have testified at multiple Assembly meetings. The Assembly also drafted a long list of questions about the bill's impacts. Supporters of the legislation provided detailed answers. Assembly member Jeff Mucci wasn't ready to take a position and said he still had unanswered questions.
It's a real emotional issue in Petersburg, and I get that, and I want to make sure before I vote one way or the other on it that I've had the opportunity to listen to the folks in town and some of the folks who are involved with it who don't live in Petersburg, but just hear what they have to say and, you know, see what we can do.
The vote was 4-3 to send a letter opposing the bill. Bob Lynn joined Mayor Jensen, Stanton Greger, and Kensinger voting yes to send the statement of opposition. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
Insight Daily Radio.
From food to fashion, science to tech talk, or for just plain fun, we've got you covered. From the Art of All Things, here's Lasana Jeffries.
Don't let the big top fool you. When it opened in 1968, Circus Circus was intended for grown-ups. Its grand opening was on October 18, 1968. The huge casino had numerous circus acts performing around the cavernous room, trapeze and high wire acts performing over the heads of gamblers, and bevies of showgirls dancing and singing throughout. Circus Circus had cocktail waitresses in majorette outfits, blackjack dealers in polka dot shirts, and even a slide for tipsy gamblers to ride from the midway to the gaming floor. In 1972, the property owned its first hotel tower, and 2 years later, Jay Sarno sold Circus Circus to William Bennett, who continued the hotel expansion. It became a public company in 1980 as Circus Circus Enterprises, opening the Excalibur and the Luxor. In 1999, it became the Mandalay Bay Resort Group, after opening Mandalay Bay Resort Casino. And in 2005, MGM Resorts bought the whole shebang. The bizarre combination of circus acts and gaming tables has made Circus Circus a popular setting in both books and films. Its most famous appearance is likely in Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Circus Circus also made a memorable cameo in the James Bond film Diamonds Are Forever, as well as Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery and Honey, I Blew Up the Kids several decades later. Circus Circus was one of the first casino properties to court families, and it remains their modus operandi. Chief among the draws for those with little ones is the Adventure Dome, an indoor amusement park that opened in 1993. The Dome has expanded since then with dozens of rides and roller coasters. Thanks for listening. I'm Lisanna Jeffries.
Insight Daily Radio.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Here is your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the fourth day of May, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 6:10. It won't set again until 10:04. That will give us 15 hours and 54 minutes of daylight, just about 16 hours. That's a gain of 4 minutes and 33 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 61 degrees, set in 1915 and 2003, and our record low was 19 degrees, set in 1945. Currently out at the airport, it is 45 degrees, overcast skies, northwest winds to 8 miles per hour. We're looking for a chance of showers today, 50%. Mostly cloudy skies, high near 47, north winds to 10. Showers are likely tonight. Low around 41 tonight, mostly cloudy skies with north winds to 5. For tomorrow, showers, high near 47, northeast winds to 10. And for Thursday night, scattered showers, cloudy skies. That will go into Friday, scattered showers, mostly cloudy skies. But on Saturday, they're talking about just a 30% chance of showers after 10 a.m. and mostly sunny skies on Saturday, high near 53. Sunday, we're talking about mostly sunny skies, high near 51. Monday, partly sunny, high near 49. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitka at Kodiak's east side. Small craft advisory today, north winds to 15 knots and seas to 9 feet. For tomorrow, north wind to 15 knots and seas to 5 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, north 15 today, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, northeast 20, seas to 5 feet. Up in Chiniak Bay, north 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots this afternoon, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, northeast 15, diminishing to 10 knots tomorrow afternoon, seas to 3 feet. And up in Marmot Bay, north 10 today, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, northeast 10, increasing to 15 knots tomorrow afternoon in Marmot Bay, seas to 4 feet. Well, it's time for the spring plant sale. It's a community fundraiser to benefit KMXT, and it's happening next Saturday, May 7th, at 12 noon at 1223 West Kuzkoff Street. If you need more information or you'd like to drop off some plants, please call 907-539-5009. The school children at the Chiniak Schoolhouse have created flotsam flowers from marine debris they found on the beach. The public is invited to view their creations, which are on display now at the Rooted Greenhouse. The Assembly is having a regular meeting on Thursday. That's starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. Agenda items include amending the Kodiak Island Borough Personnel Rules and Regulations, also amending the Kodiak Island Borough Code by removing the provisions that pertain to declaration of a disaster or emergency, as well as work on contracts and resolutions. Are you looking for something to do in Kodiak? Would you like to see Kodiak through a new artistic lens full of adventure and appreciation? Well, after a long closure due to the pandemic, the Kodiak History Museum is open again, and they're debuting a new show called Kodiak Collective in its temporary gallery on April 30th. The show features a collection of broadsides created by Natasha Zahn Priestess and Sarah Lowen. Stop by the Kodiak History Museum between April 30th and June 7th to check out this show that explores the natural beauty, history, and circular nature of life in the Kodiak Archipelago. The Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association is having their annual meeting on Thursday. It's going on between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that meeting will be held at the KRAA offices at 104 Center Avenue, Suite 205. You can also attend by Zoom. Contact KRAA by phone or email to request the link. Phone number is 907-486-6555, and email them at kraa@kraa.org. Things going on at the library. Don't forget about the Lego Club. That's every Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. unless they say they have canceled it. It's a drop-in program for youth after school. Kids under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Again, that's 3:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. Thursdays at 11 a.m. is preschool story time for kids 3 to 5 and their families. Story time is limited to 10 kids. Please call the library at 486-8686 to reserve a spot. And on Thursday at 3 p.m., the library's next chess club meeting will happen. Drop in to learn, practice, or sharpen your chess skills in a cozy, friendly environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open for all ages. Things happening on Saturday, too, at the library. This next Saturday at 10 a.m., Ms. Ani and volunteers are painting the library sidewalk for the summer. Volunteers are welcome to stop by and help out. Also on Saturday at 1 p.m., Judy Kidder, local apiarist, will lead a workshop on rendering beeswax. Judy will demonstrate the process and explain its many benefits. Space is limited to 20 people, please, so call the library at 486-8686 to register, and they'd like you to do that by Friday. The City Ports and Harbor Advisory Board will hold a meeting on Friday. That's happening at 12 p.m. in the Fisherman's Hall. The meeting is open to the public, and it will be web-streamed via the City of Kodiak website. For more information, call the Harbor Department at 486-8080. And the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board will be holding a meeting next Tuesday. That meeting will begin at 12 p.m. in the Baranoff Park office at 1222 Chichinoff Street. This meeting is open to the public. For more information, call the Parks and Rec office at 486-8670.
Do you need to see a doctor, dentist, or optometrist? Arctic Care is offering no-cost medical, dental, optometry, and veterinary services to anyone in the Kodiak community May 4th through May 13th. To learn more about the services available through Arctic Care, the location of services, and to schedule an appointment, go to kodiakhealthcare.org or call 907-486-9870. Arctic Care 2022 is a no-cost healthcare service program provided by the United States Department of Defense Arctic Care Innovative Readiness Training Program in partnership with Kodiak Area Native Association.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.